Good morning, dear friends. Welcome back to Bible Sunshine. It is Wednesday, and we want to continue our study in the Word of God today. I hope you're doing well. It's getting cold here on the 2nd of December, but we're grateful that the sunshine of God's love shines upon us, and we can be warm and enlightened in Christ. Open your Bibles up to Joshua chapter 6 and be ready to look at some other places. And let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for your truth. Thank you that your word is truth. Thank you that there's so many lessons, so many examples here. But thank you, Lord, that you have given us the way of salvation in your word, that we might know you, and that we might have our sins forgiven, that we might have eternal life. So I pray that you will encourage us, bless us. If there's anyone listening who has not yet trusted Jesus to save them, I pray that before this day is over, they will call on the name of the Lord and be saved. Thank you for your word and truth. Bless us now in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Well, we're on the correlation section of Joshua chapter 6, and correlation is where we connect themes and thoughts and text in one chapter with other chapters, other books in the Bible. So there's so much that connects here in chapter 6. We were on the second question, find other references to sevens in the Bible. And I got a couple of responses, and one was one that I had on my list, but there was one that I did not have on my list. So maybe you've had some others that you can send or text in today. But let me just run down a list of sevens. And again, this is not exhaustive, but it's some of the sevens that we see other places in the Bible. Let me reread Joshua 6, verses 3 and 4. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day, so we have 6 plus 1 for days, the 7th day, you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priest shall blow the trumpets. So notice all those sevens in Joshua chapter 6. But where else in the Bible do we see sevens? Well, the 7 days of creation and rest. I gave you a sample of this one yesterday. God created the world in 6 days, rested the 7th. In Revelation, we have the 7 seal judgments. And we also have the 7 bowl judgments, the vials, the bowls that were poured out on the earth in judgment. And we have the 7 trumpet judgments. The order actually is seals, trumpets, and vials or bowls. These series of judgments in Revelation, we have the 7 years of tribulation in the Revelation. And going back to Proverbs chapter 6, there are 6 things plus 1, which makes 7 things that God hates. Very interesting. 7 things that God hates. And here is one of the many, many sin lists in the Bible. And this particular one gives us 7 things that God hates, that are an abomination to him. Proverbs 6, verse 17. The first one is a proud look. The second one is a lying tongue. The third, hands that shed innocent blood. The fourth, a heart that devises wicked plans. The next, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. Very interesting list of 7 things that God hates. Well, not only do we have those things that God hates, but in chapter 9 of Proverbs, we have wisdom's 7 pillars. Wisdom has built its house. It has seven pillars. It's hewn out her seven pillars. I've often wondered, what are those seven pillars? What are the pillars of wisdom's house? Well, think about that. That's Proverbs chapter 9, but seven pillars in wisdom's house. We have, as I mentioned in Revelation, 7 years of tribulation, but in chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation, we have the seven churches of John's day, the Apostle John. When the Revelation was written, there were seven messengers from seven churches. Lots of sevens in Revelation. And then in the Gospel of John, he gives us seven particular signs or miracles that Jesus did. There were many more, but John delineates seven for his specific purpose, that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing we might have life in his name. So there were seven signs in John. And Brother Samson responded yesterday about Jesus' seven claims, his truth claims, seven of those in the Gospel of John. Absolutely. Very good. Seven truth claims of Jesus. For example, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. And there were seven nations greater than Israel to be destroyed in Deuteronomy 7, verse 1. And here's an interesting one. The seven spirits of God in Revelation chapter 1. The sevenfold Spirit of God. A great description, I believe, of the Holy Spirit and all of his qualities. And we can compare those back with Isaiah chapter 11. But here he mentions the seven spirits of God in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 4. Well, how about this? This was also shared yesterday. My wife mentioned this one, and I added it to the list. How many times should your brother sin against you and you forgive him? Up to seven times? How about 70 times seven? So there's a very significant seven in Scripture. Forgiveness over and over and over again. I don't think Jesus intended us to count out all the different times. 70 times 7 would be 490. I don't think he intended us to get to 489 and say, hey, but man, you got one more and that's it. I'm not going to forgive you anymore after that. No, what he is saying is an unlimited number of times should we forgive those who sin against us. Let me share from Matthew 18, verses 21 and 22. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? And I actually think Peter was being generous with that. He was thinking seven is a significant number. It's a number of God's perfection. So surely if I am that magnanimous, I'm that big-hearted, to forgive seven times, that will be a very good measure. Well, look what Jesus said. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. So Peter was thinking, hey, I'm doing very well here, Lord. If I will forgive someone up to seven times, Jesus said, no. 70 times 7. In other words, don't put a limit on it. My number of perfection multiplied 70 times. That is, keep on forgiving. I just love that. Well, here's something else that I jotted down that I just noticed yesterday. In Mark chapter 8, we have one of Jesus' miracles. Actually, we have a couple miracles mentioned here. But notice this. Mark chapter 8, let's start with verse 18. Mark 8, verse 18. Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? What a question from Jesus to his disciples. Remember what? Well, verse 19 of Mark 8. When I broke the five loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up? They said to him, 12. So I broke five loaves for 5,000 people. There were 12 baskets left over. Verse 20, and when I broke the seven for the 4,000, did you know there was another miracle? Not just the feeding of the 5,000, but the feeding of the 4,000, and he broke seven loaves of bread for them. And look at this. How many large baskets full of fragments did you take up? And they said, seven. So he said to them, how is it you do not understand? Isn't that great? So Jesus not only fed the 5,000 with these five loaves and two fish, but he fed 4,000 with seven loaves, and they took up leftovers, seven baskets full. So he said, how is it that you do not understand? Don't you remember? Well, there are 14 different sevens in Scripture, and I challenge you to find some more. And I think it will add to Joshua chapter 6 when we see those sevens, the seven priests, the seven trumpets, and the seven times around on the seventh day. It just shows us how important this number is all through Scripture, and we can correlate that with many other texts throughout the Bible. Well, let's go to question number 3 in correlation. Based on Joshua 6 and verse 17, let me reread that. You'll notice here how that we read the text and then we observe, and we observe as we read. And then we interpret, we ask questions, and we reread the text. And then we come to correlation, and we read it again. So the point here is you can never read the text of Scripture too much. And I'm talking here about smaller portions, but certainly the whole Bible. Reading the whole Bible, you said, I did that once. Wonderful. Do it again. You said, I've done it 100 times. Wonderful. Do it 101. You see, we can never read and reread the Scripture enough. And so here we are in Joshua chapter 6, rereading verse 17, and it brings up this very important principle. As we study the Bible, we don't get tired of reading and rereading, because usually there's something that, maybe I should say, there's always something that we miss. So verse 17, now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction, it and all who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. So the statement here is, note other places in Scripture where people, places, or things are doomed or accursed. This is very interesting, this concept in Jericho, that the city and what was in it was doomed to destruction. It was set apart to the Lord, either for his special use or for his destruction. And Jericho was here set apart for destruction. Everything, all the people in it, except for Rahab. Well, let's go back and look at some scriptures where we see this concept again. The idea, it's devoted to the Lord. It's given over to him, and it's given over to his use, his destruction. Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 34. And notice this. We took all his cities. These are the cities of Sihon, verse 32, Sihon. We took all his cities at that time, and we utterly destroyed the men, women, and little ones of every city. We left none remaining. So here is Sihon and the people in his city destroyed. Chapter 3 of Deuteronomy, verse 6. Chapter 3, verse 6. and we utterly destroyed them, as we did to Sihon, king of Heshbon, utterly destroying the men, women, and children of every city. Remember back to our study about the wickedness of the land of Canaan and even neighbors on the east side of the Jordan. There was a reason that God's judgment came upon them in this way. So here were places that were utterly destroyed, that were turned over to destruction. King Sihon, king of Heshbon, and King Bashan of Og. And then in chapter 7 of Deuteronomy chapter 7, this is a enumeration of the seven cities that would be destroyed, or seven people groups, seven nations to be utterly destroyed. So here's another seven. Deuteronomy 7, verses 1 and 2. When the Lord your God brings you into the land which you go to possess, and has cast out many nations before you, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Notice this, seven nations, and he says it, seven nations greater and mightier than you. And when the Lord your God delivers them over to you, you shall conquer them and utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them, nor show mercy to them. So the idea where things are doomed to destruction, they're set apart to destruction before the Lord, we find that here in Deuteronomy, even before we get to Joshua. Well, let's go past Joshua to Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 15, and keep in mind this attribute of God, that a God is a God of grace and mercy, but God is a God of justice, of wrath, and of judgment. That's the God of the Bible. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 3, we have the account of the Amalekites. Now go and attack Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and do not spare them. Very clear instructions. But kill both man and woman, infant and nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. This is what Saul was supposed to do. Notice down to verse 21 of 1 Samuel 15. Verse 21. But the people took of the plunder, sheep and oxen, the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. Was God pleased with this? No, he was not, because he told them to utterly destroy. Everything was doomed to destruction. And then if we go back to Joshua chapter 11, we see the kings and Anakim here, who were to be destroyed. Joshua 11, notice verse 11. So this concept is not unique to Jericho. Joshua 11, verse 11. And they struck all the people who were in it with the edge of the sword, utterly destroying them. There was none left breathing. Then he burned Hazor, or Hazor, with fire. So we will pick up there tomorrow. Praise God, we live in the day of grace. God is opening his arms to people. Come to me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me and be saved. But if we reject the Lord Jesus Christ, there will be a certain and fearful judgment ahead. Flee the wrath to come. Flee to Christ, trust the shed blood of Jesus and his living resurrection to save you from sin and give you eternal life, and you will be saved. Well, today I'd like to go to two countries for our intercession. One is in South America. It's in the northwest side of South America, connects to Panama in Central America, and I'm talking about Colombia. And let me share some information from this book on Colombia. Colombia remains volatile and dangerous, although a strong government has stabilized the nation in recent years. Levels of violence, kidnapping, and assassinations are still abnormally high. Another request, Satan's hold on Colombia must be broken by prayer. Christ's lordship must be proclaimed over the spirits of violence, revenge, lawlessness, and corruption, as well as the occult practices that have brought the nation so low. Every year, dozens of pastors are killed in Colombia. The challenge of violence, listen to this, the conversion of guerrillas and paramilitaries to Christ leads them to quit the fighting, which in turn makes the churches a target. As a result, many pastors have been assassinated or have left the country. There's great violence that has occurred in Colombia. Let's pray for that country. And then I want to go to Africa, to the Comoros Islands, C-O-M-O-R-O-S, a little group in Africa. It's one of Africa's poorest countries. And it says here there are severe restrictions on Christians. Evangelism is forbidden. Pray for courage for those choosing to follow Jesus and wisdom for all who must walk out their faith in this hostile atmosphere. The Comoros Islands off the eastern coast of Africa need our prayer. Well, let's go to prayer. Father, we thank you that there is no drug cartel, there is no guerrilla group, there is no paramilitary, there is no dictator that is bigger than you. And Lord, we come before you for the whole country of Colombia. We pray for a radical change in the government, that you would change the hearts of leaders through the gospel. We pray that leaders will be exposed to the saving truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord, for those Christians that are there, strengthen them, embolden them. And Lord, I pray that the churches will be protected from those guerrilla groups that want to kill Christians. We pray you'll protect your people there and protect your servants, the pastors that are there. Use them for your honor and glory. And I pray the gospel will multiply, that the scriptures will permeate the land, that through the internet and radio waves, that many will be exposed to the truth of scripture. And Father, we pray for the Comoros Islands and the persecution that would take place there because Christians are in such a minority. We pray, Lord, for boldness and wisdom and strength and for many to be saved. We pray for false religion to be put down. We pray for the works of the enemy in Colombia and Comoros Islands to be pushed back by your people praying, by the powerful work of your Spirit. And dear God, I pray the same in the United States of America. Push back the powers of darkness. Push back evil and deception. And we pray that righteousness will triumph. Lord, revive your church. Give wisdom to your people. May we be people of the book. And may we be those who witness of the grace of God while there's still time for people to be saved. Thank you for what you're doing, what you will do. We praise you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Well, God bless you, friend. Thank you for joining us today on Bible Sunshine. I hope we see you tomorrow at 12 noon. May God's light shine brightly on you today.